Today's daf is Avodah Zarah Daf Yud. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elishev Neumann, the Zechus Rafur Shleimer for Chaim Naftali ben Frimit Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida Bas Chayad, the Shibrachav Rafur Shleimer, the Soch Shar Chale Yisrael. We left off on the bottom of Daf Tesem Beis, the very last few words of the page. We're about to discuss how there once appeared a shtar that seemed to be 6 years off in terms of the dating of the shtar, and the Gemara is going to explain how counting years from Malchus Yavan can lead to a six-year discrepancy, and why it is that we do not why it is, but asserting that it is that in shtaros we always count the years from Malchus Yavan. Then the Gemara is going to move on to discuss what is the Yom Genusya, one of these Yom Ayid that the of the Chacham celebrated is the Yom Genusya. What is special about that day? And then the majority of the daf is going to tell us stories of the interactions between Antoninus and Rebbe. We're going to have six different episodes, six different stories of interactions between Antoninus and Rebbe. And then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to tell us the story of Katia Bar Shalom, another Roman person who also was Zocha L'Chaye Olam Haba, not just Antoninus, but Katia Bar Shalom. And we're going to hear about the story of Katia Bar Shalom and what he did to be Zocha L'Chaye Olam Haba, and how about him, Rebbe had said, Yesh Kona Olamo B'Sha'a Achas, that a person could be Kona Olam Haba even in a Sha'a Achas. So let's begin Tesam Debeis, last few words on the page. Oh, Shtar Adav Aksiv Bei Shish Shnin Yiserta. There was a shtar that they found that the date was off by 6 years, meaning Lamashal in the year Tafshin Ayin Ches, the shtar said Tafshin Pei Dalid. So it seemed to be clearly off by 6 years. So Savar Rabban Kamei de Rabbi Lemeimar, Hai Shtar Mu'ucharu. So the Rabban thought to say that this must be a Shtar Mu'uchar. This is a post-dated shtar. And what's the value of post-dating a shtar? Why would you do that? So Rashi explains, Malva Asa Imo Tova Umachalo Shibur Karko Shal Sheishanim. The Malva was doing a favor to the Lova, and he was saying, you know what? Even though normally when there's a shtar, whatever property you own at that moment of the loan is going to be meshubah to me to collect if you don't have any nechasim b'nei chorin, but I'm willing to be mochel shibud karkos for the first 6 years. So we're going to start the clock on that. We're going to start the shibud in 6 years from now. So it seems like that's what he was doing for him. So you have 6 years to get rid of whatever properties you own right now, and that's not going to be meshubah to me. I'm not going to be able to go take it from lekuchos. That's what it seemed to be, that this was a shtar mu'uchar. So we should wait until that zman and not be gova milukuchos in the interim. So Rav Nachman hay safra davkana kasvei. No, this shtar isn't off by 6 years. The sofer was being precise. He was writing the exact date of the shtar. V'hanach shnis shis shnin. Just happens to be that there were 6 years from the beginning of Malchus Yavan where there were Malach Be'elam, but it was not yet that there were Malach and Kol Olam Kulo, and because of that we don't start counting the years of Malchus Yavan from the original date. We start counting from 6 years later when they expanded their Malchus. This Sofer knows exactly what the dates are, and he's counting from the real beginning of the Malchus. Titania Rabbi Yossi Yomer Sheishon Malchu Be'elam V'achar Kach Pashto Malchus and Kol Olam Kulo. Initially there were Malach only Be'elam, and then their malchus expanded to the entire world. So that's what's going on with the shtar. It is not a shtar mu'uchar at all. So ask Gemara, there should not be two dots here. I'm not sure why that's there. Maskel Ravacha Bar Yaakov, mimai de malchus yivanim, de le malchus yivanim maninan, de malitzias mitzrayim maninan, v'shavke l'alfa kama, v'nakte alfa basra, v'aymucharu. What makes you so sure that when we write shtaros, we're really counting from malchus yavan? It's counterintuitive that we would count from Malchus Yavan. It happens to be that if you count from Malchus Yavan, from the Malchus Yavan date of when Pashto Malchusam Al Kol HaOlam, it happens to be exactly 1,000 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it could be when we date things, what we assume to be from Malchus Yavan is really us dating from Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we just simply leave out the Elef. We leave out the millennia because that's too much
much detail. You don't have to get into the millennia. So we just leave out the Elef column, and what we're really counting is Yetzias Mitzrayim. And if that's the case, if you find a shtar that's 6 years off, it's 6 years off. It's a shtar meuchar. It is not a. It is not meant to be a shtar dafkana. So I'm Rav Nachman begola in monin el malchei yavanim b'vad. No, in galus we only count to malchei yavanim. Who suffered the chuya kamadchile? So he thought, nah, he was just being doche him. He didn't really mean that we necessarily count to malchei yavanim. Just that you have no proof otherwise. That's all he was saying. But then nafak dok v'ashkach. He went and he did some research and he found etanya begola in monin. That in fact in Galus we only count, we're makbit to count from the Malchus Yevanim. So Am Ravina Masnisa Nami Dek, and the Mishnah sounds this way as well, because the Tana and the Mishnah tells us Be'echad B'Nisan Roshana L'Malachim L'Regalim, that the first day of Nisan is considered the beginning of the year when it comes to the Yom Tovim, but also when it comes to kings. V'Amrina L'Malachim Ma'ilch. So what do you mean when it comes to kings? What's the Nafkamina about when the Rosh Shana is, as far as kings are concerned, some Rav Chista l'shtaros, as far as dating the shtaros, at Echad B'Nisan, we flip the calendar for counting what year it is in shtaros and Echad B'Nisan, utnan, and we have another Mishnah, v'Echad B'Tishrei Rosh Shana l'shanam l'shmitin. That an Echad B'Tishrei, not Echad B'Nisan, is the Rosh Hashanah for years. V'Amina L'Shanah M'Mayilch. So we say, what does it mean it's Rosh Hashanah for years? What's Nafkamina? V'Am Rav Chistel L'Shtaros. That when you date Shtaros, you count the year, you flip the calendar on Echad B'Tishrei. So wait a second. Kasha Shtaros Hadadi. We just got through saying that Echad B'Nisan is when we flip the calendar on Shtaros, when we're counting Shtaros to the Malchei Yavan. And yet we say Echad B'Tishrei is when we flip the calendar on Shtaros. U'mishaninan Kan the Malchei Yisrael, Kan the Malchei of the Chavim. Ah, it depends. Shtaros that reflect how many years since Malchei Yisrael, that's Echad B'Nisan. That we go with Nisan. Shtaros that reflect how many years since the Malchei of the Chavim, that we go with Echad B'Tishrei. The Malchei of the Chavim, Mitishrei Meninan, the Malchei Yisrael, Min Nisan Meninan, Va'anan, Hashta, and what do we do right now? Mitishrei Meninan, we count from Tishrei. V'Yisal Kedek L'Yitzias Mitzrayim Meninan, Min Nisan Meninan L'Mimnei. If our dating system was really about Yetzias Mitzrayim, it should have been from Nisan. That would make more sense. So it must be, if we're dating Shtaros, where we flip a calendar on Echad B'Tishrei, it must be we're not counting to Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're counting to the Malchus Yavan. And that's why we flip the calendar Echad B'Tishrei. I mean, it makes sense that that when counting Lefi the Umos Ha'olam, we're going to start with Tishrei, because that's the Brias Ha'olam. The Brias Ha'olam was for everybody. Nisan is significant for Klal Yisrael. Nisan is the month of the birth of a nation, of Klal Yisrael, of our destiny being put into motion. So that would be for us. The fact that we flip the year on a calendar, we flip the calendar and change the year in Echad B'Tishrei, shows that it must be that we're counting L'malchei Umos Ha'olam and not L'malchei Yisrael. Now Tosfos has an important point L'halacha over here. We say that this sofer, initially we said that when it was 6 years off, we thought, it must be Shtar Meuchar. No, Safra Dafkana. Maybe he's writing precisely, but he's counting from a different date, from their initial takeover of the Malchus. Says Tosfos, Mikan Yesh Lahachshir Shtar Shedileg Bo Sofer Lebrias Olam. You ever listen under the chuppah? They read the ksuba, so they start with the date. So they say the date and say Lebrias Olam. The date is this many years since Brias Olam, because we have to know what we're counting from. You could count from the Hamadas Melech or something. So how do I know that it's that what we're counting from? We say Lebrias Olam. What if you skip the words Lebrias Olam in a ksuba? Is the ksuba still kosher? Is a shtar still kosher without the words Lebrias Olam? Says Tosfos, have a raya from our Gemara that yes, that it's absolutely kosher. And not only that, even if you leave out the Chamesh Salafim, you know, when you start listing the year, 5,778, you leave out Chamesh Salafim, even if you leave out Shva Meos, you leave out the Meos column, even that's going to be kosher. Like when you write a check, you could write, well, now they fill in for you, the 20, but you could, when you write a date, you could just write slash 18, you don't have to write 2018. So when we write a shtar, we don't have to have the 1,000 column and the 100 column filled in. Raksha Kasa, Bekach Bekach, how do I know this? Because clearly in in those days they would count from the Malchus Yavanim, Vasofer Dolgo, and the Sofer left out the thousand column, and the Sofer left out that he's counting L'malchus Yavan. D'yavaksiv b'shtar behedya L'malchus Yavanim, because if it would have said in the shtar that they are counting to Malchus Yavanim, Mayavakamer Dilni L'tzias Mitzrayim. How could the Gemara then question who says they're counting L'malchus Yavanim? Maybe they're counting L'tzias Mitzrayim, which is exactly 1,000 years earlier. No, you couldn't have asked that if it would have said explicitly in the shtar that we're counting for Malchus Yavanim. It must be that they left that out of the shtar. So you're allowed to leave out of the shtar what you're counting to, from. V'afiluachi l'armin l'minyan achrin. And we don't just assume that it's some other count that we're doing. We don't assume it was anything else because that was the minhag. They always counted the Malchus Yavan. So af kan kim libriyas olam. So our minhag, every star we write, every ksub, every get we write, is libriyas olam, and that's our minhag. Say lachash, so you don't have to worry about it. V'gamim dilig nami alaf min lachash mitkam b'sam chshav kelaf kamim nakti alaf v'bas. And we see that you can leave out the thousand column from the fact that we suggest that they were counting from Bitiyas Mitzrayim and they just left out the thousand column. So you see clearly, and then Tos concludes with Rabbeinu Tam, Asa Maisa, Shakasav Shtar, Bekach, Bekach, Leprat, Vidilik Alafim, Begam Bias Halam. That Rabbeinu Tam, when he would write a shtar, sometimes he wouldn't write the thousand column, the hundred column, and he would leave out Lebrias Halam. And it was understood that such a shtar is perfectly kosher. Okay, says the Gemara further now. The Yom Genusya Shal Malchayim, about halfway down the page, Yom Genusya Shal Malchayim. So we're saying that the Yom Genusya Shal Malchayim is a Yom Ayah. They had a Yom Genusya, but it was the different kind of right. We had two different kinds of Yom Ayid. This was in the first in the first category. It was for everybody, right? This is Yom Ayid for everybody, 3 days in advance, not just a personal Yom Ayid. So says Gemara, my v'yom genusya shal malchayim. What is this Yom Genusya? Amar Rav Yehuda Yom Shamaamidin ba Ovdik Chav Mes Malkam. It's the day that the reign of that king began. V'atanya Yom Genusya v'yom Shamaamidin ba Ovdik Malkam. But we have a brisa that lists as two separate dates, the Yom Genusya and the day that the reign of that king begins. Solo kasha hadidei hadibrei. One is the day that the king himself took over the throne, and the other is when he's ma'amid his son to be the melech in his place. That when he dies, he wants very often the king would have it. He'd set it up in advance, not that they'd wait till he dies and then establish the son as the melech. Because very often there's fights that ensue when someone dies, and there are multiple sons, and there's a nephew, and it's like by rabbis, you know. So you want to have, while the person's alive, who the next one is going to be. So he already establishes who the next one is going to be. That's going to be his nachas. So that already becomes a holiday. Umi mukmi malcha bar malcha. But wait, do the Romans do that? Do they have a melech ben melech? They don't follow that whole system. Vatani Rav Yosef, hine katan nesaticha bagayim. That they're considered a katan bagayim. Why? She'in bo shivin melech ben melech. They don't establish a melech ben melech. That's not the way they work succession plans. Bazui atamaod, and they're considered a very bazui nation. She'en lem, why? What's the big bizayin to them? She'en lem lo ksav v'lo lashon. They have no ksav and they have no lashon. They don't have any writing or any language. So that's a little bit difficult to understand. What does that mean? They have no writing and they have no. They absolutely have a writing and have a language. So says Rashi, lo ksav v'lo lashon. So Rashi writes. Where is it? Yeah, v'loshen shel romiim me'uma acheres ba'alahem acherim tiknulem kol sifrahem. It came from some other nation. Other people were misaking for them all of their books. Also, very difficult to understand. There's plenty of Roman literature that's original literature, that it certainly was not just copied from other nations. What is Rashi talking about? That they don't have any ksav, any lashon, any svarim, any books? Every idea that they have is not, everything is plagiarized. What does this mean? So Tosus writes, he quotes Rashi, he says, V'tema, da b'nei shol b'nei keturah v'amun umav shamdu achadar aflaga me'ayin balahem l'shonim lomu umacheres. Tosus asks the other way. He says, and every other nation, you know, after to the Zara Flaga. So there was where do you think every nation got their language from? Everyone got from some Uma Acheres. You know, we talk about Chachmas Yivanis, that the royalty had their own language that only they spoke, their own way of communicating. By the Romans, they didn't have such things. There was nothing special for the royalty. But it wasn't about the people. The people had their own, there was their own Roman language, there was their own Roman books. And then Tos says later on, Vodyesh Lomar, Kedam Brech Rabbi, the Bedar Flaga, Allah Hayam Vihitziv Harbi Mishpachos Marian Umos, Vikulanam Dumi Yishmal B'nei Ketura. Vikalem to Kalhanach Yarshu Lashon Uma V'Uma, Sha'avda, Avlurumim Lamdu Lishonam Me Uma Acheres. That in the Dara Flaga, the families from the 70 Umos were all Omeid Me Yishmal B'nei Ketura, and every other nation Yarshind a Lashon of an Uma that was lost. But the Romans didn't Yarshin a language of an Uma that was lost. When Dr. Lyman was here for Shabbos, was in Northwood for Shabbos, he gave a lecture about this Rashi. And he pointed out from very early sources that the story was that in the days of early Christianity, Christianity resembled Judaism way too closely. So closely that we were hemorrhaging Jews. We kept on losing people to the Christian movement. So the Tanaim got together and they said we need to infiltrate their group and we need to create a fifth column and someone has to change things up and make it different enough from Judaism that it's not going to be appealing to the Jewish people. And they voted someone, said, "You promised me Olam Haba, I'll do it," and they did, and he went, and he created this whole, he became Pope, and he created all of these new Hanhagos that were very different from Judaism, and that's what it means, that it's an Ambazoi, Ein Lem Lo Ksav Lo Lashon, that none of their own stuff is really from them. It came from the fifth column that we implanted in them, so that they will be, which is an astonishing historical claim that that the early leaders of Christianity were really spies for the Jewish people, but that's essentially, really knocking it down to like one sentence, that was Dr. Lyman's lecture. So that's Pshat in the Rashi. I forgot the Svarim that he had. I have the Mar Makomos at home, but whatever. So okay, so says Gemara. So how can you say that Yom Gunusya means the day that they establish a melech? We know that and Yom Gunusya and Yom Yom Shema Amidim Boaz Malcham are two different days because one is for when the melech is established, one for when his son is established. The son never gets established. Elamai Yom Gunusya Yom Aleda. So no, you know what Yom Gunusya means? It means his birthday, the king's birthday. Vatanya Yom Gunusya vi Yom Aleda. But we have a brisa that says that there are two separate days, Yom Gunusya and the birthday, Lokasha. Hadidei, Hadibrei, that there's his birthday and his son's birthday. Vatanya Yom Gunusya Shalom, Yom Gunusya Shalbano, Yom Aleda Shalom, Yom Aleda Shalbano. But wait, we have another brisa that lists 4 days. His Yom Gunusya, his son's Yom Gunusya, his birthday, his son's birthday. So Yom Gunusya must have nothing to do with birthday. Elamai Yom Gunusya, Yom Shema Amidin Bo Malkam. No, Yom Gunusya is what we said originally. It's the day that the Melech was established, was the coronation of the Melech. Velo Kasha. Hadidei, Hadibrei. And we said there are two separate festivals, one for him, one for his son. Aye, but we said that's not possible because the son doesn't take over for the father in the Roman royalty. You can ask that kasha. When it's by special request of the king, and he asks from the sarim that the son should take over, then they do it. Just like Asvirus bar Antoninus. Antoninus was a Roman king, and he requested specifically that his son Asvirus would take over, and they granted that request. So you do have sometimes that the son will take over for the father. Now this is one of the rare sources in Shas for a birthday. Here we have Yom Aleda, that the Yom Aleda is considered to be a special day by the Romans. In the Chumash, the only birthday we have is Paro, the only birthday that's celebrated. So we don't really have much as far as Jewish sources are concerned for the celebration of a birthday. In the Tshuvas HaParkasta Da'anya, he quotes that the Chasam Sofer was against the idea of Jews celebrating a birthday. He said what Jews should do instead, for male Jews at least, celebrate the anniversary of their bris. close enough to a birthday, and that way you're celebrating the anniversary of a mitzvah. Why not a birthday? What would be the problem with celebrating a birthday? So there's a sugya we referred to before, that there's that there was a machlokas. Is it noach l'adam shenivra or noach l'adam shelo nivra? Are we better off having been born, or are we better off not having been born? And the Gemara's maskana is noach l'adam shelo nivra. We're better off not having been born. But if a person is a tzaddik, then it's noach lo shenivra. Meaning, if a person manages to make the most of it while he's in this world, then it's noach lo shenivra. So if the maskana is noach lo shelo nivra, what are we celebrating? It's sad. We would have been better off not having been born. Why? Because we're tzaddikim? It's unseemly for us to make public claims of being a tzaddik. So surprise party, that's other people calling you a tzaddik. You're going to celebrate your own birthday? Unseemly that a person is going to be such a balgaiva that they're a tzaddik and that it's noach lo shenivra. In the Minchas Elazar, he writes that that we never heard Rabbi Seinu v'Avoseinu HaKadoshim that they ever celebrated birthdays because of this reason, that it's noach lo shelo nivra. But he adds that specifically for Jews, it's not an inyan. For Goyim, it is an inyan. He says, because why is it noach lo shelo nivra? Nimnu v'gamru. When you count up the mitzvos, there are ramach mitzvos hasei, 248 ways to generate zechuyos, and shasa mitzvos lo sasei, 365 ways to do averos. So there are more roadblocks than there are possibilities for advancement. So that's why it's noach lo shelo nivra. But the Umos Olam, they only have seven mitzvos b'nei noach, they only have 70 surim, and everything else, every positive thing that they do is a mitzvah. So for them, it's more chance for advancement than there are roadblocks. And that's why it's not that it's the wrong thing for them that all the sources of birthdays are by Goyim, and then that's because they're doing something wrong. No, they're doing something right for them, but not for us. That's what the Minchas El-Azhar explains. In fact, the question of celebrating anniversaries of things in general, I mean, the fact that another year passed, is that a cause for celebration, or is it a cause for reflection of what we could have accomplished and didn't accomplish over that time? It says here in the Masifta in the Panini Halacha section that when Rav Shimon Shkap was when the Talmidim celebrated a 50 years of Rav Shimon Shkap being Marbitz Torah, Rosh Yeshiva, so they put out a Sefer HaYovel, and Rav Chaim Ozer wrote a Hakdama to the Sefer, and he says, you know, we don't really do this, and Rav Shimon Shkap wouldn't really like this, that you're celebrating his 50 years, but you know, Rav Shimon, his whole life is such an anav, and he takes on the responsibility of supporting the yeshiva, and it's very difficult, so he's going to have to suffer through this as well, the kavod that they're trying to give him. He doesn't like it, but he's going to have to suffer through it as well, because it's going to be good for the yeshiva, it will be good publicity for the yeshiva. So it seems to have like a very negative take on celebrating anniversaries, birthdays, things like that. So how are you going to explain that to your kids and to your wife? Like, you know, we don't do it. So there is there are plenty of sources that suggest that in Chazal that there is a special mazel. There's Yerushalmi that Dafka, when they would fight wars, those people whose birthdays were would go first because they have a special mazel on their birthday. And someone asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky, if a person has to go through surgery, should they Dafka try to schedule it, and it's around their birthday time, should they schedule it for their birthday because they have extra mazel? He says there are makoros in Chazal for that, not so crazy. In fact, in the Ben Ish Chai, he writes that it's a simin yafe to celebrate each year on one's birthday, and the tzava'a of the Tiferes Yisrael and the tzava'a writes that he to his children that he demands that his children each send each other birthday cards on their birthday, that he wants them to remember each other, because what does every parent want? That their kids should be able to get along, that their kids should have a good relationship with each other. So he demanded, that was his thing, that he demanded. By Rav Moshe, they said that Rav Moshe would like it when his grandchildren would call him on his birthday to wish him happy birthday. So not such a non-Jewish thing to celebrate a birthday. Okay, so says the Gemara further now. Now we get to the stories of Antoninus and Rebbe. Antoninus the Rebbe. Story number one. We're going to have six of them. B'ina. He says, you know, I really want my son to take over for me as the Melech. You know what I also want to do? Because I have such a warm relationship with you and with the Jewish people and with Talmidei Chachamim, I would like for the city of Talmidei Chachamim to not have to pay taxes. But here's the problem. If I make one request of the Sarei Romi, they're likely to listen to me. If I make two requests of them, then they're likely not going to listen to me. So what should I do? So I see Gavra Arkave Achavre. So Rebbe, instead of answering him directly, got a person to go on another guy's shoulders. He wrote him on the other guy's shoulders. The Yavla Yona li Eloi biyadei, and the top guy was holding a Yona, a dove. Vamle l'tasa emerli ilo delimifrach min yada Yona. And he told the bottom guy, instruct the guy on the top to release the Yona. So the guy on the bottom instructs the guy on the top to release the Yona, and he does. So that was all a remez. So what was he supposed to get out of it? So he was clever enough to figure it out. Amar, he said, Shema mina hachi ka amarli. What he's telling me is as follows. Ad boy you should request that your son Asfiras be the melech after you. Now you have a puppet melech, right? You have someone who you put in place as the melech. They only have to listen to one request from you and one request from him. And have Asfiras make the request that they'll give the tax break to the city of Tamidei Chachamim. So that way you'll accomplish both goals. Now Dafka, he chose a Yona. Yona Klal Yisrael. The Gemara tells us in a couple of places, in Beit elsewhere, that Klal Yisrael is Nimshal Yona. Ma Yona Knafeh Maginosala, just like a Yona, its wings protected, so to Knesset Yisrael, the mitzvahs are Maginosala. So he's telling him that you should be Meshachrer, the Yona, you should be Meshachrer Klal Yisrael from having to pay these taxes. Says Gemara further, second story. Amalei Mitzarili Chashuvi Romai. He says, you know, the Roman officers, I'm very distrustful of them. I think they're causing me lots of trouble. So every day Rebbe would say, let's take a walk in the garden. So every day Rebbe would pull out one radish from the row in the garden. So till the whole row was gone, after every day, they're pulling out one radish. He's pulling out one radish at a time. Amar Shemamina Hachi Karmeli. So Antoninus picked up on it. He says, I see what he's telling me. At Ketol Chad Chad Minayu. He's saying that I should kill him off one at a time. Just pick him off one at a time. Velot Tiskarbu Bukulu. Don't make a melchama against the entire royal court, where I'm saying, I'm taking on everybody. Everyone's got to go. No, one at a time. And then slowly, they'll all be gone. So says the Gemara, Velema Meimar Behadia. Why didn't Rebbe just tell him what to do? Why does he have to have this remiza, this odd remiza about what to do? So says Gemara, Amar Shami Chashuvi Romi Mitzarulei. He was afraid that the Chashuvi Romi are going to hear about it and they're going to cause him trouble. Velema Lebelachash, so tell him quietly. Mishum Duchsiv Ki Of Hashemayim Yolech Hazakol. No, the pasuk says that a little birdie heard that Of Hashemayim could be Molech Hazakol. So that's something that he didn't want to risk having said it. So he has plausible deniability. I never said anything to him about anything like this. All I did is I took walks with him in my garden. Now the idea of Dafka using a radish, Ben Yoyada explains, is that the way it grows is that the head of the radish is in the ground and the leaves stick up from under the ground. The head represents the real idea, the goal, the primary. So he says, you know, these Chashuvei Romi, they may act outwardly like they have your best interest in mind, but they're what their real ideas are, what their real Eitza is, what their real goals are, is something that they're hiding from you, meaning you are right to be distrustful of them, because as much as they tell you, oh, you're our king and we honor you, they don't really. They're just angling for how they're going to be able to get rid of you whenever they can. So now says the Gemara a third story. Havalei hu barta d'shma Gira. Antoninus had a daughter whose name was Gira. Ka'av de Isura. She did some isur. She did something terrible. Rashi says, zinsa. She violated znus. So he didn't know what to do with her. Here he has a child that's not behaving. How do you deal with her? Shadalei gargira. So Rebbe sent a certain herb called the gargira. So shadalei kuzbarta. Antonina sent a gargira. Rebbe sent back a kuzbarta. Shadalei karti. Antonina sent back a karti, a leek. Shalachlei chasa. Rebbe sent back chasa, which is lettuce. And that was the whole conversation. What was that conversation? So Rashi explains, well, he sent him gargirta, because gargirta represents that nimshach alev, that nigrar alev, that she's followed her heart and she's followed her taivas and she's committed znus. So he was telling Rebbe what she had done. Rebbe sent him back a kuzbarta, says Rashi in the second skinny line, klomar shchot habas. Kosbarta, shte milos, you should shecht your daughter, you should kill her, because she's chay of misa. So then he sent her back a karti, a leek. But kares, he says, really, I'm going to cut off my own family. My own family's going to be gone. That's a terrible idea for what I'm going to leave behind. So he sent back chasa. You know what? You're right. He sent him back lettuce. Chasa means to have rachmanus. So he says you should be chas al her. Even though she's chayiv misa, you should have rachmanus. So Tosus doesn't like this pshat. Because what? Rebbe didn't get it at first. He didn't realize that killing the daughter is going to knock off the whole dynasty. And then he had to change his mind afterwards. So Tosus says no. That gargira means that she committed a niyuf, that she was an adulteress. Shandale kuzbarta was kasei al kolona. Vochichana b'seiser, don't publicly humiliate her. It's kasei al kolona, cover for her. I mean, you give her the musa that she needs, but do it privately, where other people won't hear. But Antoninus misunderstood. He thought Rebbe was saying shechter, so he sends back the leak. Kareis, I should cut off my own family? So Rebbe says, no, chasa, I'm telling you to have rachmanus on her, not to be very hard on her, but to have rachmanus, and to handle it in as quiet a way as possible. That's what he was telling him. The Tos Chachmei Anglia asked, why was Antoninus worried about Kares, that his family would be cut off? Not true. We just learned before, the previous story, that Antoninus had a son that he established as a melech. So cutting off his daughter is not going to be cutting off his entire family. So the Tos Chachmei Anglia suggests that this story with the daughter happened before he had a son. Rabbi Akvam suggests, no, it was after. The son predeceased him. So he thought the son was going to take over, but the son died before him, and it was the son-in-law who ultimately had to take over. So it was very important for his malchus that this daughter stay alive. So says Gemara now a third story, a fourth story rather. Kol Yoma have a shadale dava pricha b'matarasa v'chiti apumayhu. Every day he would send him a bag full of gold, and there was a little wheat at the opening of the bag. So it was like shaved shavings of gold in the bag, so it would feel not like a solid gold brick. It was shavings of gold and some wheat at the opening of the bag, so it looks like a bag of wheat. Amlu amtu chiti l'Rebbe, and he would tell his shluchim, go bring chitim, go bring the wheat to Rebbe. Amalei Rebbe lo tzerichna isli tuva. Rebbe would say, you know, I really don't need this. I have plenty of money. I'm perfectly fine. Amalei havelu manda basrach, di havelu basrach, dasu basrach. He says, no, because we're not going to be around forever. You're going to have children. I'm going to have children. We don't know that my children are going to get along so well with your children. They may make knasos on them. There may be need for bribery. So I'm giving you the opportunity that in the future, they'll have what to bribe them with. Uda asiminayu nefuk alayu. And the people who come from you will be able to pay the people that come from me. The Marsha already asks that it's a very repetitive lashon. What does that last phrase really add? We already see that he says, I'm giving you this money for future generations. But so the Rishonim understand that last phrase to be saying something else, but that's the Pashas. He's giving the money for future generations. A fifth story. Antoninus had a tunnel that went from his house to Rebbe's house, a secret tunnel where he can go and meet up with Rebbe and learn with Rebbe. Rashi says over here, Lebeise de Rebbe, Lilmo Torah, that he went to learn Torah with Rebbe. Kol Yom Avimaisi Trei Avdi. Every day he would bring two avadim to accompany him to Rebbe's house. Chad Katle Abav Debe Rebbe. One of them he would kill as soon as they got to the entrance of Rebbe's house. The Chad Katle Abav Debe Se. And one he would kill when they got back to his own house. One he would kill when they got back to his own house, so that there would be no one alive who knows that he's having these secret meetings with Rebbe. Whoever was accompanying him, helping him get there, got killed. Amalei Beinu Dasina Lanishkach Gavar Kamach. He said, and he demanded of Rebbe, he requested of Rebbe, that when I come, please, no person, I don't want anybody to be there. These have to be top secret meetings. I'm killing two avadim every day in order to make sure that these meetings remain top secret. Yom Echad Ashkel Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama Davi Yosef. One day he shows up, and Rebbe's not alone. Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama is sitting there. Didn't I tell you? Nobody. These have to be secret meetings. Amalei Lestin Barinish. This guy's not a human being. Amalei So Antoninus says, yeah, let me test him if he's really not a human being. You claim he's like a malach? So he instructs him, go get the Eved that's waiting by the door. Now that Eved is already killed. He killed him on the way in. That's what he did every day. But he didn't tell him that. So he said, go get the Eved that's waiting by the door. So Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama went and he found that he was killed. Amar Hechi Avid. He says, oh no, now what do I do? So Chatil from the Gaon, I'm going to tell Antoninus that he's dead. You're not supposed to do that. Ein Mashivin al Kalkala. You're not supposed to spread bad news. So I don't want to go and tell him that his Eved is dead. So Ashavke Ve'ezel, should I just run away? That's a zilzal of the Malchus. He sent me on a mission. I have to report back. So Boy Rachmele Va'achiv Shadve. I only have one option. He davened and he did Tchias Mason. And then he sent the Eved back. So Amar Yadana Zuti Dispachumachayim Mason. So Antoninus was duly impressed. He says, I see that even your assistant, even the smaller one amongst you, is able to be Mechayim Mason. But me, you've been seen in Lanishkach and Ishkamach. But come on, please. I asked you that there shouldn't be other people here. So point noted, he is like a Malach. He is pretty special. But still, there shouldn't be any people here when I come. Now, this idea that Ein Meshivin al Kalkala is an idea that's quoted in Halacha, that you're not supposed to spread bad news. In Yerodeah, in Hilchos Avelus, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that if you know that somebody died, you have no obligation to tell their children that they died. Because Ein Meshivin al Kalkala, you don't say bad news. Very counterintuitive. You think, what do you mean? They have a Chiv Avelus. No, they don't have a Chiv Avelus. They have a Chiv Avelus when they know that the relative died. If they don't know, then they have no Chiv Avelus. So the Rama over there says, but if it's for the sons, you should tell, because the sons have to say Kaddish. So any time telling the bad news is going to be for a Toweles, for the person, then you should tell. Some of the Achronim even suggest if there are more than one son, only tell one son. Don't tell the others. So nowadays, the information flows so freely from one end of the world to the other. But it could be that you have someone in a different country who would never find out, that is, or wouldn't find out till years later, that his parent is deceased. So that's what it sounds like is the Ikra Adin the Shulchan Aruch. Clearly, that's not the minhag. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld has a tshuva in Salmas Chaim. Why is it that you have signs all over Yerushalayim about who died recently? Why is that allowed? He said, B'ksav, you're allowed to do it. The whole thing is that you're allowed to do it B'remiza, and you're allowed to do it B'ksav. This is at the beginning of Pesachim, when very bad news had to be shared, so it was shared B'remiza. Everything about, oh, did this one die? Well, the other one didn't die. So that was the way they would share bad news. They wouldn't say explicitly. So as long as you don't say explicitly, that's okay. A sixth and final story of Rabbi Antoninus. Kol yom av mishabish Rabbi machle mashkile. Every day Antoninus would serve Rabbi, give him to eat and to drink. Kav bay Rabbi lemesek lepuriyum, and Rabbi wanted to get up onto his bed, have a gach and kame puria. Antoninus would bend down so that he could be a footstool for Rabbi. Amalei saki lavay lepuriyach. He would say, step on me to go to your bed. This is not derech eretz to be mezalzel in a melech like this. Amar mi yisimei. This is the Gemara says in Kiddushin, in the Kibbut Aveim sugyos, that one of the Tanaim used to do this so his mother could get on the bed. That it's considered like a real sign of avdus. Amar mi yisimei matzatach tach liolam haba. Santanina says, if only I could be your mattress in olam haba. Amalei asina la almadasi. Santanina says, tell me, Rebbe, am I going to olam haba? Am I destined for olam haba? Amalei in. He says, yes, you are. Amalei vaksiv lo yasar the base esav. But I thought there's going to be no remnant left of the base esav, and I'm from the base esav. No, but osamaisa esav. That's only someone who's osamaisa esav. You're a tzaddik. You do wonderful things. You're going to olam haba. Tani nam yachi lo yasar the base esav yachal lekal. I might think that there's no one left of base esav. Tamalam the base esav, but osamaisa esav. The base esav means someone who does maisa esav, but you're not osamaisa esav. Amalei vaksiv shama. Shema Edom Malchah v'chol nisiyah, Amalei Malchah v'lo kol Malchah, that its kings, but not all of its kings, kol nisiyah, and of all of its nisiyim, v'lo kol sarah, but not every sar of Edom is going to be wiped out. Tanya Amiyachim Malchah v'lo kol Malchah, kol nisiyah v'lo kol sarah, Malchah v'lo kol Malchah prat lantaninus ben asvirus, that Malchah v'lo kol Malchah means which is the Roman king that's going to be zochet olam haba, that's Antoninus bas asvirus. Kol nisiyah v'lo kol sarah prat l'ktiyah bar shalom. And Kol Nisiyah V'lo Kol Sarah is excluding Ketiyah Bar Shalom because he also goes to Olam Haba. And the Gemara is about to tell the story of Ketiyah Bar Shalom and why he was Zoche to Olam Haba. But before we get to that, which we'll get to tomorrow, let me just mention, Tosav here raises a very troubling issue. This story of Antoninus, he would visit Rebbe every day, two Avadim, he'd kill one on the way there and one on the way back. Why is that allowed? Okay, he's a guy. He's only chayiv in sheva mitzvahs. Guess what one of the sheva mitzvahs is? You're not allowed to commit murder. Why is he allowed to kill these people on the way there and on the way back? So Tosus raises the question. Shvichus dam is mi sheva mitzvahs. Says Tosus, Yeshlomer sheyari pen yodiu adavar el asarim vayugorman lahargo. He was afraid that these people were going to tell the other sari romi, and that would ultimately lead to his demise. Ultimately, he would get killed on account of that. So therefore, habal lahargo chashkem lahargo. Go. Someone is going to be a rodev. Someone's going to kill you. You're allowed to kill them first. So some of the Achronim ask, Habal Hargacha? don't invite them and they won't tell anybody, meaning you're the one that put them in that position. Okay, so you need some levoy, but still, they're not bar lahargecha. They only become bar lahargecha because you put them in the position to become, to be the bar lahargecha. So some of the acharim suggest that this may depend on the machlokas rishonim about if you have a mila that's being done on Shabbos and ishtapa chamimi, the hot water has spilled out, you don't have any hot water available, are you allowed to do the mila and then say, it's a pikuach nefesh situation, we could warm up water? Or do you say, no, I can't do the mila because I know that it's going to be pikuach nefesh and then I'm going to have to be mechal Shabbos, mila shelo b'zman, mila b'zman. So that's the machlokas, Ramban and Balamar. So apparently what they're arguing is, can you put yourself in a position where you're then going to have a pikuach nefesh argument, knowing in advance that you're putting yourself in that position? So if you say yes, that was his heter. So maybe Tosus holds that way. And then Tosus suggests another possibility. Maybe he chose these people very carefully. He chose people that anyway were chayiv misa l'malchus. They were a maser, whatever it is, whatever their previous crimes were. So there were enough of them to go around that every time he would go, that would be the way that he would take care of them as a melech, as ancient melachim would do. That's how they would take care of people who were married by malchus in one way or another. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the story of Ketiyah Bar Shalom.